Lord, we come in to worship you. We come in to praise you. We give you honor and glory. And we know that you reveal yourself to us through your word. So we pray that your spirit right now would open to us your word. Whether it's familiar, well heard over many times, or this is a first time, may you work within the hearts of each of us to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Luke chapter 7 and his recordings of Jesus. With the 11th verse, we're just going to go a few verses, about to 19 there. We hear these words. On the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your faith has made you well. Faith, a word we throw around in the church quite a bit. Faith, a word that can have different meanings depending on how we're using it. But faith, in this particular instance, has at least 3 different truths, teachings, learnings that we can take from this encounter with the 10 lepers, such that Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Little background quickly, the whole situation of the leper. A leprosy, we know what that is even today, a skin condition, a terrible skin condition. But in the time of Jesus, many things could be considered leprous. If you have eczema or a number of other skin conditions, that could fall under the category of leprosy. The priests of the day were the ones who were assigned the responsibility to look at things that people brought them, such as this rash that I have on my arm. The priests were the ones to look at that, we see in the Levitical codes, and they were to analyze whether or not this was something to be concerned about. The prescription for such times was something they kind of kept a watch on, much like our doctors do today. They kind of observe us. You know, sometimes you go to the hospital and you have to stay overnight, not for anything more than they just want to keep you under observation. Someone with a skin condition might well have a condition that could be contagious and infect everyone. So they were under watch. Come back again in 7 days. We'll look at it again. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. We got an issue. They did this with all manner of things. It wasn't just someone's body. They did it also with mold in the house and other things. The priests were the ones who had to determine whether or not this was a problem. And if it was a problem, how it needed to be cleaned, taken care of, or whether, no, this isn't something we can clean. We just got to get rid of this. Well, what happens if you're a person? What happens when you're a person and suddenly it's more than a rash that lasts for a few days, a reaction to something, but rather something that continues on? Then we got to be concerned. And the priest would eventually give the declaration, you need to be separated. Now, you can naturally see what follows. If you've got something that may separate you from everyone else, how likely are you to talk about it? Not likely, right? So there was another piece to this equation, and that is, the piece was that you were considered ceremonially unclean. In other words, couldn't go and participate in sacrifices or anything else if you bumped shoulders, ran into, were touched by, or even dealt with something related to someone who had such a condition. So there was community pressure to, in fact, report on one another. Before you think that's awful, we have all sorts of societal ways in which we separate each other even now. Think about how we behave with our children and pay close attention to who their friends are. And say, I don't know if you should be hanging out with so-and-so. Because we're concerned that certain things will rub off on them. The point is that in our start to this passage about faith, this journey with the 10 lepers that shows us three truths about faith, that we need to make sure we understand. It's not just something that happened back then. We want to understand the context of that, what it looked like, how it might take part. But we also need to understand it still takes place today in different ways. Now, the priest, the one who declared someone unclean, was also the one who, when something finally cleaned up, got better, they would come back and report in, or check in, if you will, with the priest again. And the priest would readmit them to the community after a certain number of days. Again, you have this kind of observation period. Yeah, it seems to be gone, but let's keep watch. But you had to report back in to the priest. Hence, Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. But those 10 were outside of the community. They were no longer part. They had to live separate outside the gates. As Jesus was going into a certain place, they yelled out to him. They were outside and they catching his attention before Jesus entered in, because they couldn't. And we know that people that are separated from everyone else, well, who wants to be separated? You find comfort in like people. You bridge gaps that previously mattered, such that there's a Samaritan who didn't get along with the Jews, and the Jews didn't get along with Samaritans, but they're all in a group together because they're leprous. The Bible is full of occasions where people have been declared leprous and separated. Some weeks back, we read a story about Naaman, who was an Aramean or in the Syrians. He wasn't even an Israelite, but commander, general in the whole army and stuff, and suddenly he's leprous. Even in his community, he's separated. There's a king in Israel, a famous king who lived, was king for almost the longest period, named Uzziah. Uzziah, the very king where Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I had a vision, and he saw he saw the flying seraphath with the two wings. It's an amazing event. It's King Uzziah. King Uzziah, his last 10 years of being king, he was leprous. He was separated, and his son came to the throne, even as he was still king. We can separate people for all manner of ways, and once you feel separated, whether it is from friends or community, something you've done, something that other people would say, I would not do that. That's not a good idea. You feel that separation. So that's the backdrop. That's the backdrop to the faith that we're going about to talk about. Your faith has made you well. Actually, that word well is translated far more often, very differently than your faith has made you well. That word is translated far more often as you're delivered or saved. Your faith has delivered you. It saved you. Well, what about this faith? What are the things that we can learn? Why did Luke, the gospel writer, record this story among the other things that happened to Jesus? Why this one? Because there are three basic truths, three teachings that are powerfully in that place. The first has to do with the head. Has to do with the head. Faith has to do with what we think, what we know, what we understand, what we believe. Faith has to do with the head. What we think, what we know, what we understand, what we believe. And those 10 lepers believed, first off, that they needed help. They needed help. They lived life separated from everyone else. They needed help. Kids love to play freeze tag. But that game can be turned into a different game on the playground where someone says, oh, you got cooties, and everybody stays away from the kid. And suddenly it's not fun to be the one who's it. It's a bummer. The first part of faith is they believed that they needed help. Our faith, our journey with faith, it begins with understanding that we are sick, that we're broken. Use any manner of euphemism you want, that we are running from God and that we are not who God wants us to be. And that any one of us would not want a camera shined upon us like the old show, This Is Your Life, but where they show everything in your life, including your every thought. We're sick. Faith begins with believing and understanding that we need help. The second part of believing and understanding, the second part of faith, goes back to the issue that the 10 lepers had. They'd been separated. Who were they separated by? They were separated by the priest. And why did the priest separate them? Because God said to do so. God was protecting the community from that which would infect the whole community. First part of believing in faith is understanding we need help. The second part is where we run into a real problem. Nothing can help us except for the one who pointed out that we should be separated. See the problem? That first part of believing, Knowing that we need help has another part of believing and understanding that is particularly important to faith, and that is believing that God is merciful. Believing that God loves us despite us. Believing that God is able to look past all that we really are and still love us, that God is merciful. What do the ten say to Jesus as he's coming into that city? They say, Jesus, and then they say, Master! And then the next thing they say is, have what? Mercy on us. Faith, yes, it's trusting, yes, it's all these things about belief, but it's being clear about what we believe. Believing, one, we're broken, we're hurting, we need help, and two, that the only one can help us is the merciful God. Nothing else. We spend our life trying to fix that hurt, trying to find some kind of help. I love, what is it, that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding? If some of you have seen it, his answer to everything is to spray Windex on it. You got a cold sore? He'll spray Windex on it. We're all trying to find all sorts of things to fix things. But the only one who can fix us is the one who we need to have mercy on us. Faith is about believing that we need help and believing that Jesus, God, through Jesus, is merciful. We've got to get that down. That is what faith begins with. The lepers believe that. They believe enough that they take the effort to, from afar, to shout out, to get his attention. They start yelling out. This is every opportunity for the crowd to shut them down, to say, hey, they're lepers, keep away. In every way, they're having to get their word in, but they believe, not only do they need help, but they believe that he is merciful. That's the first teaching. If you don't get the next two teachings, I want you to remember this about your faith. Your faith isn't just trusting in God, it's trusting that you need help and trusting that God is willing to help you. Not because you deserve it, but because he is merciful. Remember that Old Testament banner that they said all the time, they carried it everywhere? The steadfast love of the Lord endures for... That's right. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. It was their chant. It was their slogan. It was before everything. That steadfast love, that word, is the same word for mercy. And it becomes the same word we use in the New Testament for grace. So believing, faith, it's about believing that we need help, and believing that God is merciful through Jesus. The second part, a little harder. We almost read past it. We almost miss it. It's kind of hidden. But it, again, like shouting out, it has to do with action. Remember James, in the book of James, there's the writing of, hey, faith without works is dead. In other words, you can believe something, but if you don't act on it, what does it matter? James even goes so far as to say, you believe, well, good for you, so do the demons. They believe who Jesus is too. What separates you? Faith, the second part, demands action. And here's the hard part. It demands action before we see it. Whatever it is, it is. I don't know about you, but I want the next step of my life to be clear before I take a step. Don't you? Don't you want to know how it's going to work out? We always want to know the next thing before we go to do it. We plan ahead. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith requires we take action before we see it. And this is the part that's almost lost in this passage about the ten. Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Remember, the priest is the one who says, hey, yeah, actually, you're clean. You can come back in. Remember, that's what the priest does. So Jesus says, hey, go and show yourself to the priest. Do you remember when he waved his hand and spoke a few words and healed them? Do you remember that? No, it's not there. He simply says, go and show yourselves to the priest, which means they, in their leprous condition, now have to go to the priest. How does that work? But they go. And as they go, what happens? They discover, hey, we're no longer leprous. Over and over and over and over and over, do I have to say it again? And over again in the scriptures, God tells his people to take a step before showing them what's going to happen. He says to Abraham, go to the land that I will show you. Where exactly is that? No, go. Leave your homeland, your people, everyone. Go. The second teaching about faith is that we must act even when we don't yet see the reality we're depending upon. As the writer in Hebrews puts it in the beginning of chapter 11, faith, here's a definition, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. It's acting even though you don't see it yet. It's a beautiful sunny day, and believing that God says it will rain, even though it's a beautiful day, there's not a cloud in the sky. Faith means you get out your umbrella and you take it with you because it's going to rain. Faith means you build the ark, even though it's like, okay, this seems like a crazy thing to do. Faith is what the Israelites do when they finally get to go into the promised land and they got to cross over the Jordan. The Jordan, this little river, they got to cross over it, but it is a river after all, and they got to get everything across. And God says, no, I'm going to roll back that river, just like I rolled back the Red Sea earlier. I'm going to roll back that river. You need to cross over it on dry land. But the action of faith is to say, those carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, are to step into that river, believing I'm going to roll it back. So nothing happens with that river. It's still flowing along. The whole Israelites are lined up, ready to go across, and Jericho's the next step. And they're there at the river waiting for it to roll back. And God says, no, you have to go. And the priests go to take that first step. And when they do so, the waters are rolled back. The second teaching of faith, beyond the head of believing that we are need help and that God is merciful, the second step is knowing that we need to act on the future that we cannot yet see. The third truth, the third teaching with the lepers. There are ten. But one, when he realizes he's healed, instead of going to show himself to the priest, goes back to Jesus, falls on his face, thanking him. Now, I don't know about you, but my technical side, my black and white side gets troubled here. Because Jesus clearly praises this one. Hey, weren't 10 healed? Where are the other 9? But I get conflicted. I don't know about you, but every now and then, I mean, I really want to follow Jesus. I want to do what he tells me to do. He told those 10 to go show themselves to the priest. But this one doesn't go do that, but instead he comes back to Jesus, and he's the one in the right, and the 9 who were told to go to the priest somehow are in the wrong. Wait, you're telling me to do 2 different things. Anybody else feel that way? Here's the third truth of faith. Many people will break it off into, we need to be thankful. We need to express our thanks, like that one who did and went back and fell on his face and was thankful. Yes, But the problem that I have with that is sometimes we remember that third part of faith of being thankful for God's mercy. We remember it in the same way we remember things like, oh, that's right, I got to write my thank you notes for the Christmas gifts I got. Oh, that's right, I haven't done my thank you notes yet. We remember that in a way like, oh, that's right, you got to be thankful. Oh, that's right, we got to be thankful. That's not what's going on here. If the first part of the first truth was about the head, this last one is about the heart. Faith is God's instrument to draw us closer to Him. Faith is God's instrument to our heart. That one knew that he was supposed to go to the priest, but you know what? I know who just healed me, and I got to go and thank him. Faith is an instrument to draw us closer to our Lord. It is meant to tie us to him. How many of us ask, why doesn't God just snap his fingers and make it all better? Because he's after our hearts. And we can be wowed by miracles, but he's after our hearts, which takes so much more than just a miracle. It takes the conviction of believing, looking for that mercy, expecting that mercy, and then not just thanking, but now living in that mercy. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has restored you, has saved you. Not just because he believed and trusted, but because now he has found himself walking with Jesus. He's drawn close to God. Faith is God's instrument of drawing his people to him. Let us remember it's more than believing. It's more than trusting. In the end, it's all about bringing us back to him. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, may we once again place our trust, our hope in you. And as we do so, may we be drawn closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. May you be like the children and infect others with the faith that you have through Jesus Christ. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and forevermore. Amen.